And hey, Ozzy Osbourne's in our studios at NPR West. Mr. Osbourne's co-written his autobiography with Chris Ayers. It's called I Am Ozzy. And Mr. Osbourne, you have what amounts to the most extraordinary warning label on an early page in your book. It says, other people's memories of the stuff in this book might not be the same as mine. I ain't going to argue with them. Over the past 40 years, and you really list them.
I've been loaded on booze, coke, acid, quaaludes, glue, heroin, rohypnol, klonopin, Vicodin, and too many others. It's called rock and roll.
Well, good to talk to you, sir. Thank you very much for coming in. Mr. Osbourne, of course, one of the original members of Black Sabbath. With that group and as a soloist, he sold millions of records.
Crazy, but that's how it goes. Millions of people living as foes.
He and his wife Sharon and their five children, of course, were featured in that famous reality show on MTV called The Osbournes. I'm so glad you could be with us. Thanks very much for joining us.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
You know, nobody's going to listen to anything we have to say until we get the Doves story out of the way.
Oh, next question. I'm so over the Dove, the bat. You know, it's everybody knows what the answer is. It's just one of them things, unfortunately, that people will remember me by when I pass on, I suppose. But, you know, the answer is, yes, I did buy the head of a dove. Yes, I did buy the head of a bat. It's a stupid thing to do, but I did eat, you know.
It's a very candid book, and I get the impression, having read it, and I must say enjoyed it, that almost more significant than the short career you had as a burglar, which you write about, and a few months you spent in prison, you worked in a slaughterhouse.
Yep.
What was that like?
Well, the first job they gave me was they'd give a big pile of sheep's stomachs. And my job was to stick a knife in the stomachs and empty the stomachs out. And for the first two or three weeks, I did nothing but throw up. The smell was just unbelievable. But after a period of time, I did get used to the smell and it became okay up then. It was an experience. I still eat meat, and so I don't have a problem with it, you know. But people that put me down for this and that, and how could you work in a slaughterhouse, if they're vegetarian, I respect that.
You're among, I gather, millions of people on this planet who can say that the Beatles changed their life.
Absolutely.
So what happened? Recapture that for us.
Well, I didn't want to live in that environment for the rest of my life, and in the working class environment. I was suffering from, I still do, from dyslexia and attention deficit disorder. When you're in a class of 40 kids and the teacher's talking to you about writing stuff on the blackboard and you honestly haven't got a clue what he's talking about, it's very difficult. So when I heard the Beatles, I thought, that's it. That's what I want to be. I want to be a Beatle, you know. And I bought the Beatle suit, the Beatle wigs, the Beatle photographs, anything with the Beatles on. And I still get a lot of pleasure out of it. And I still listen to McCartney and Lennon and Harrison and Ringo Starr. It was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life to meet Paul McCartney. It was phenomenal.
You say in this book when you first began to perform Black Sabbath, the girls in the audience ran away from you.
But there's a song called Black Sabbath, that's how we got the name. It was a very demonic riff. But how we started was we decided to write scary songs because, I tell you why, because we used to rehearse across the road from a movie theatre, and I think it was Tony Iommi who said, isn't it weird that people pay money to go and see scary films? Why don't we start writing scary songs? And we, at that point, we were doing jazz and blues, you know, so it's not that far removed from a 12-bar blues riff, you know, some of the stuff.
Could you tell us the story about the first time you entered the U.S. and you were asked about your religion on the visa form?
In the entry form, religion, and I wrote Satanist, and I just went, okay. I only did it for a joke, you know. I don't suppose I'd get away with saying Satanist in many other countries.
You know, it's funny, for a book that imparts so much about biting the heads off doves and taking one drug after another. The almost dirty little secret of this book is, God bless you, you love your wife.
I love my wife. I mean, we've had our eyes. You don't know, we've had a few slings and arrows across along the journey. But you know what? I'm not prepared to give in, you know. People say she saved my life, but at the same time, I saved her life as well, I think. She's a great mother. She's a great wife. She's a great worker. She's a great manager. She's just great.
How long have you been together?
28 years we've been married. We've been together for 30 years.
I have to ask, when we talk about the train of improbable things that have happened to you, you were almost the last casualty of the German bombardment of England.
Yeah.
Of World War II.
What happened was I was filming one of the episodes of The Osbournes, and I have a farm in England, and I have these quad bikes. And in my one of my fields, there's a load of quite deep potholes all in a line. And I thought, well, I'll go down the one side of this pothole, I'll come up the other side on a quad bike. And I lost control of the quad bike. And it turned out, when the Germans came over to England to bomb and during the war, that sometimes they were just unload their bombs and fly back to wherever, Germany or whatever. The potholes were where the bombs had hit the field, you know, and before they went back. So I could have been a belated casualty of World War II.
Buried with full military honors, I'm sure.
Yeah, in the pothole west.
When we get to the end of this book, a health scare made you give up drugs and alcohol.
No, I was the one who gave up with drugs and alcohol. Drugs and alcohol were ruling my life, and I made a lot of bad, wrong decisions while I was drinking alcohol. The first thing I stopped was cigarettes and tobacco, and I've been in rehabs with hardcore heroin addicts, and they say, you know, I've kicked the heroin, but I can't let go of the tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't smoked a cigarette in I don't know how long now, or I haven't had a drink in I don't know how long. I haven't done a recreational drug for a long while. I like being clean now.
You're going to go back on tour?
Oh, yeah, this July. The Ozfest comes out in July. I got a new album. I haven't got a title yet, but I got a new album coming out. Because that's what we have to do now to bring the pennies at home, because you don't sell records much anymore like you used to.
What else would you like people to know about you?
Will you be doing any more touring? How long are you going to be touring? How many records are you going to be? Talk to me about my passion music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Was it fun making so-and-so album? Or do you wish you'd have played with this guy? Who would you have liked to have been on stage? It's all about this bloody bat and dove. It's like, that's what people ever think I do, you know.
I know you met Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on stage with him?
Yeah. I was playing at the Queen's Jubilee, and we all got on stage and sang one of the Beatles songs, which is... I mean, then again, after that, I did a TV thing in England with my wife and children, and he was the guest performer. And Sharon said to me, I was like, when I meet this guy, I'm gaga. I'm like, he's like my hero, you know? And Sharon says to me on the side of the stage when we were hosting his show, did you ever think you'd be in this position? And Paul McCartney's playing with his band. He's got a great band, man. When he does the Beatles songs and when he does the Wings songs, the guy's unbelievable. I'll tell you, I don't know how the guy does it. It's like effortless to him, you know.
Gazing through the window at the world outside, wondering will Mother Earth survive?
Mr. Osborne, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Pleasure's mine, sir.
Thanks very much.
All right. God bless.
God bless, sir. Ozzy Osborne, his autobiography, at least what he can recall of it, is called I Am Ozzy.
After all, there's only just the two of us, and here we are still fighting for our lives, watching all of history repeat itself time after time.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
I'm just a